you're here tonight, again, we want to cast the net, so to speak. We want you to understand that we love you. You don't hear that word much anymore, but I want you to know that we love you, and we've been praying for you. You say, well, how do you know who I am? I don't, but the one that I pray to knows, and he knows every heart, and we've been in touch with him, and more importantly than me loving you, I want you to know that God loves you tonight. He gave his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. And there's no greater love than that. For our sins, he did that. And I'm very, very thankful for what the Lord's done for all of us tonight. And if you're here tonight and you're lost, I want you to know that he'll do the same for you. If you'll trust him. I had a thought to come into my mind, I guess, before I got home last night. And y'all pray for me tonight as we try to speak. I need the Lord's help. There's a verse of scripture that we read in the 14th chapter of the book of Proverbs, verse 12. And says, there is a way which seemeth what? Right. Unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We want to focus our thoughts on that verse just for a second. And you know, you don't have to be a Bible scholar to understand that there are several ways that seems right in our world today. Just about anything, any direction you go, you're liable to hear just about anything about how to get to heaven nowadays. And, you know, I'm not surprised that the people that are lost are confused and struggling. I can understand that. I'm on this side. I've been saved and I understand and I've been enlightened, and I'm thankful for that. But again, I want to try to focus my thoughts on your point of view. And you are. It is very confusing. There's so many ways out there, and a person doesn't know. But, you know, I hope tonight that you'll listen to the Word of God, because that's where you're going to find what you're looking for. Nothing that I have, nothing about me, nothing that I say. It's what the Lord does with what we do. And I hope that you'll pay close attention to that. I was thinking today, and Sister June almost got on my thought before service. She made the comment that she's glad her kids grew up before cell phones. I grew up before cell phones. You know, and it's truly amazing when you stop and think about it how far technology has come. There are people here that are older than I am, and I'm sure that you see that even more than I do. But in my lifetime, there's been a lot of changes. I don't know how in the world we survived without smartphones, iPads, Apple Watches, laptops, GPS. I don't know how we got by it, y'all. We can't function nowadays without these things. And I've seen kids almost go into convulsions when you take some of these things away from them. I don't go to the mall much, but when I do go to the mall, it's not to shop. My wife shops. I sit down. and I people watch. And it's amazing how people carry on. There'd be a lady coming down high heels that high and a sack of something on this side and a cell phone on this side. I don't see how she manages. It's truly amazing. I'll have to say, some of these gadgets that we got today, they're pretty neat. I guess all of them are neat, but I ain't smart enough to use all of them. I ain't figured some of them out yet. When I was in school, and kids today cannot relate to this. Some of you others can. Kids today can't relate to this. When I was in school, our gadgets were encyclopedias and libraries. And a lot of hours ahead of you researching. Some of you, you know what I'm talking about. And it probably took me a little longer than most people. But now, with all the technology that we have, in seconds, we can have more information than we know what to do with. So this younger generation that's going in through school now, they're blessed. Y'all got it easy. You ought to have to go and spend hours in a library, and you can't even say anything. You have to be quiet. We like our conveniences, don't we? And we don't like to be inconvenienced. Anything that inconveniences us is a problem. We want it. And despite all of our labor and time-saving devices that has been brought into the world, we're still the most rushed and the most impatient people that's ever lived on this earth. You say, well, how do you know that? You can go back just, and you don't have to go back very far, but people rode horses and mules to church. And I'm going to tell you a story about an old preacher that I heard Brother Charles Allen Gentry tell this story. We can get in our cars and we can be anywhere with distance in just a matter of minutes. And it confuses me that people find it difficult these days to get up and go to church. I don't understand that. What if we had to ride a horse to church tonight? I'd have had to left pretty early. A lot of us probably wouldn't have made it. There's a gentleman that he's done gone on to be with the Lord. You've probably heard his name. If you've been around in the missionary Baptist circles, you've heard of Brother Phocian Gibbs. Brother Charles Allen Gentry told this story. I guess I was at a revival with him or something. I don't remember. But it was a winter Sunday morning, and Brother Phocian got on his mule. And he took off to church. And at that time, he pastored a lot of churches. He actually pastored the church that I pastored for 10 years up in Smith County. And he rode this mule to go preach to them people. And they said that it was so cold that when he got there, his feet were frozen to the stirrups. They didn't have electricity. They didn't have all the conveniences that we have. They had coal oil lamps. They had wood heaters. And some of the sisters had to get a cup of water and go in there and set it on the stove and get it hot and then go out there and pour it on his boots to get him loose and get him out of the saddle. We would consider that an inconvenience, wouldn't we? We probably wouldn't bother, would we? You know, we have become a society, and this is so true about a lot of us, including me. But when we want it, we want it. We want it. I remember some of my relatives, they didn't understand our philosophy that we have today. They were very patient. They worked their whole life to accumulate what little bit they had in this world. But now in our world, we want everything. We want it now. And most of the time, we want it our way. Well, you know, we might get by with that attitude and way of life in a lot of things. Might get by with it. You might go many days throughout your life having it your way and not be inconvenienced whatsoever and enjoy all the conveniences of life. But there are other things that you will not. You will not have it your way. The thing that we're going to talk about tonight that you need to give ear to and you need to open your heart to is salvation. Amen. Salvation is one of those things that you will not have it your way. And I understand, and Solomon penned that verse of Scripture thousands of years ago. I don't know if God revealed it to him or if he had any idea what would be going on this planet in the year 2017. But there are ways beyond my comprehension. There are ways out there that has taken all of the authority of salvation away from God and placed it upon the individual. And they have these little phrases that they use. And you've heard them, and I'm not going to spend the time on them. But you have heard a lot of these phrases that the religious world is throwing out there. And it's convenient. And that's why people like it. What I'm going to tell you about tonight is an old, old story. It's an old path. And it's been around for a long time. Amen. God ordained this path before the very foundations of the world. Amen. And it's still good. God said to Jeremiah, he said, that old path, walk, for it is the good way. It's still the good way tonight. Amen. And I'm going to throw this in there, and it won't cost you anything extra. It is the only way of salvation. People have gotten away from the true Word of God. The Bible is very clear on God's plan of salvation. Anything other than repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is one of those deceptions about what this man preached about last night. It comes from him. It is a lie. Amen. And I cannot understand at all why people cannot see through this. Satan has thrown a veil over them and blinded them. And if, as Paul said, if our gospel is hid tonight, it's hid to them that are lost. Amen. Because Satan has thrown that veil over their hearts and minds. These ways that people have developed and to make everything a little bit more convenient for people. This is not of God. God has no part in this. And I want you to understand that totally. These little catchphrases, these little slick phrases that people have come up with, that people, listen, I like that. I like that. It's of the devil. It's not of God. And I hope that you can see the difference tonight. I hope that the Holy Spirit comes and reveals to you what you need to do. You know, the Bible tells us that God draws us. That's all you've got to go on right now. That's all you need to know right now. You need to know that that drawing is from God through the work of the Holy Spirit. And He is drawing you to an altar of repentance and faith. Everybody in here that's been saved knows what I'm talking about. You were drawn by the Spirit of God. When I was convicted, I may have told you this already, there was nobody with me. Nobody was there in that bed that night with me. I was by myself. But the Lord was there. And He was drawing me. He was convicting my heart. And I knew that something was not right. I knew that. It didn't feel right. I couldn't explain everything that was going on with me, but I knew that it was not right. I knew that my heart was not right. That's all I knew. That's all you need to know. That's all you need to know. God is drawing you. You know, when Solomon said those words, it was a warning. It was a warning. He said, there's a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That is a warning, my friend. And I'm proud and humbled also by the fact that I can stand up here tonight. If not me, this man can stand up here and he can tell you the truth. He can tell you not only a way that is right, He can tell you about it. He can tell you His experience. So can I. We know in whom we have believed and persuaded that He is able to keep that which we have committed to Him against that day. He is real tonight. Amen. What we're talking about is real. Salvation is real. Amen. And we want you to experience it. But, you know, it's going to be very easy for you to be deceived and to go some other way. And I want you to know, I want to warn you just like Solomon did, that the end of that, the end result of that, are the ways of death. If you don't go God's way, the end result is death. Amen. I don't want that for anybody. I don't want that for you. I want you to find the way to life. Amen. I want you to find the way to eternal life. Amen. And friend, that only comes about through repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what you're looking for. I don't know if you know it or not, but you are looking for the way to life, for the way to peace. And when we're justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I can't understand why anybody would refuse the gift of God. I've never understood that. It doesn't hurt. It doesn't cost you anything. But boy, I'm going to tell you what, the end result of God's salvation is worth whatever we have to go through to get it. And I'm going to tell you, the night the Lord saved my soul, it wasn't some little simple prayer that I repeated one time. I was agonizing. I was praying. I was begging the Lord to save my soul. I don't know what I did differently. The moment the Lord saved my soul than I did differently at the very beginning. I don't know. My heart wasn't right. I wasn't truly surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. Somewhere in there, I didn't know what was going on, but I asked and I asked. And at some point, I had faith that satisfied our Lord. And He saved my soul, and He'll do the same thing for you tonight.
Amen.
Paul told us in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. He said the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. God is offering you the greatest gift that this world knows about. It's the greatest possession that you'll ever have in your entire life once you get it. I went and visited sweet lady at our church, and she'd come down with dementia, and she had a bad case of it. She couldn't remember her name. I loved her. I've known her my whole life. I went and visited her one day at the nursing home. I had to tell her who I was. She didn't know who I was. I told her, "Oh yeah. Sweet, sweet." And I had already had this thought before I went to see her. I said, "I'm going to do something." You know, I kind of have to struggle to come up with something to talk about. I was just trying to come up with something. I thought, "I'm going to try something." I went in there. After a few minutes, I told her who I was. She was talking and I was talking, and I said, "Sister Nell, I want to ask you a question."
"Okay."
I said, Do you remember where the Lord saved your soul?" She looked at me like, she goes, "Well, how in the world could anybody forget that?" And she told me her experience of getting saved. I'll never forget that as long as I've got a sound mind. I'm going to tell you something tonight. You can believe it or you cannot believe it. The choice is up to you. But I'm going to tell you this. What God does for you is very, very special.
Amen.
It'll not only happen at the moment that it happens, but it's going to stay with you for the rest of your life. And as I go and I get older, and I know that my days are appointed. When you're young, you don't think about your days being appointed. You just think you got all the time in the world. Give it a little while. If you're blessed with a long life, you're going to wake up one day and you're going to say, "You know what? Closing in on me. I don't like that thought, but there ain't nothing I can do about it." That's in God's hands. But when that time comes, what God does for you, it's not only good enough to live with, it's good enough to die with.
Amen.
And as I approach that moment, as I approach that time to where the end of my earthly life comes, I have no fear. Because I know that the Lord is with me.
Amen.
And I know that He's going to take care of all that. I don't have to worry about it. That's one of the benefits of being a child of God.
Amen.
That That's part of the gift of God. You just pass from this life over into the next life. What a joy. What a joy. I want you to have that gift. It's big enough to share with the whole world, Brother Taylor. That gift that God has at His beck and call, it is big enough for this entire world. And certainly big enough for you tonight. You might think, well, or you might ask, well, if it's a gift, why don't He just give it to me? There we go. Remember what I talked about on the beginning? We want it our way. Why don't He just give it to me? Well, He will. But it'll be according to His conditions and not yours. You see, salvation is of the Lord. David said that salvation belongeth to the Lord. And it's still true tonight.
Amen.
When we meet His conditions, when we go and search and seek Him and surrender our will to His will, He'll give us the gift. But not, and not until then. You know, His plan has been established for a very long time. Now, a lot of people that you have to be careful about these books that you read these days. I got to where I don't even want none of them. It's too hard to decipher out. This right here is the best one.
Amen.
But there are people that believe today that God had one plan of salvation in the Old Testament and He had another one in the New Testament. That's not true.
Lord help.
I'm going to prove it. See, we got the evidence.
Amen.
It ain't hard if you get in the book. It ain't hard to prove it. Have you ever read the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews? That's a good chapter.
Amen.
Do you know who those people are that Hebrews is referring to? They're people from the Old Testament.
Amen.
They're people that lived before the Lord Jesus Christ was born in the flesh. And the Bible tells us, He said in verse 2 of chapter 11, He said, "For by it the elders obtained a good report."
Amen.
Who are the elders? Well, He goes on and He lists some of them. There were many more. We have no way of knowing. But He lists some of them all the way through the 11th chapter. Those people, those patriarchs, those prophets, those men and women of God in the old book. What is the it? What is the it? For by it the elders obtained a good report. What is the it? It's faith.
Amen.
It's faith. You can read that in the first verse of first verse of 11th chapter. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen.
Amen.
Those people before the coming of Christ the first time, they believed and they had faith and they trusted just like we do. They didn't see with their physical eyes the Lord Jesus Christ, but through the eyes of faith, they believed that there was one coming, that He would be the true Lamb of God. They believed that. The ones that knew the difference between the truth and the lie, they knew that those blood sacrifices, they didn't cleanse any sin. It pointed to something. It pointed to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Christ.
Amen.
And they had faith in Him. Jesus said that about Abraham. He said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he was glad to see that day. He saw something, didn't he?
Amen.
Not with his physical eyes. Neither did I. But I'm going to tell you something. That Wednesday night, as a 12-year-old boy, this cat saw something.
Amen.
He saw something. Through the eyes of faith. And it'll happen to you. But you have got to do exactly like everybody else has done before you. You have got to come God's way.
Amen.
And friend, that is nothing less than by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That is it. That's what you need to do. And I hope you can find it in your heart. Any deviation from God's plan whatsoever leads to a dead end.
Amen.
Jesus told us about it. He said there will be many. I don't know what that number consists of. Many is a bunch. I know that. I'm a country boy. That's the only way I know how to describe it to you. It's a bunch. But he said, there'll be many that'll say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. And he goes on and he lists, have we not prophesied? Have we not done many wonderful works? Have we not cast out devils in thy name? You see, they kind of veered off from the old path. They got off the straight and narrow path. And somehow or another, they got on that broad road. You know what? It leads to destruction every single time. People have forsaken the truth. They have forsaken the Son of God, and they've went about and they've hewed themselves out cisterns that can hold no water, folks. And if you're here tonight and you're trying to get in some other way, it's going to lead to a dead end. It'll amount to nothing.
Amen.
Except an eternity in hell.
Amen.
There's only one way. I've spent a large part of my life preaching about that one way. Haven't changed. I didn't wake up one day and have some kind of vision and come up with something new. We've been preaching the same gospel ever since we started. And I've known preachers that's been preaching a whole lot longer than I have. They're still preaching the same gospel that they started with. They've not veered off. There have been some that have. I know that. But the ones that I associate with, they still tell the same old story.
Amen.
It takes faith in one, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians, Paul, in the beginning of that chapter, Paul speaks about a lot of one things. If you've ever read that, one things. He talks about one body, one spirit, one God, one baptism. And man, we got every kind of thing going on in the world today that you can think of. I doubt it I could count them all. And Paul, in the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians, go ahead and look for yourself if you don't believe me. It's there.
Amen.
One. But also, something that is very important and that we're talking about tonight. He mentions also, he said that there's one Lord and one faith. And it's always, always been that way. It's not going to change either. It hasn't changed tonight, and it won't change tomorrow. Now, I realize that people have the ability to go out here and make attempts and come up with falsehoods and deceive people. And all they're worried, they're not worried about souls. These people are not worried about souls. I want you to read through the lines here. They're not worried about souls. They're worried about numbers. And they're worried about money. I heard there was a young lady that came to Beckwood Church and she went to a church. Now, I ain't going to call no names. It ain't important. God knows. He'll sort it all out. She came to our church and she got saved. And she wanted to unite with our church. And she got up and she started telling her story. And she said she went to this church. And she said she felt the drawing power of God. She said, I was under conviction. She said, I was troubled. And she went up front. And the preacher hovered over her and told her that she didn't need to bow down up here, that might disturb the crowd, that she needed to go over here in a side room. She told me that. I'm not making that up. Didn't want to disturb the congregation. Bro, I'm going to tell you something. If you're here tonight and you're lost, you're not going to disturb me. If you come and fall and make an altar anywhere in this building, it's not going to disturb me. I might disturb somebody that's trying to disturb you. But it will not disturb me. We want you to make an altar. If you're lost, we're praying that you'll make an altar and call on the name of the Lord and be saved. It's not going to offend anybody. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be ashamed. These people in this church, I see this everywhere I go. They're sincere people. They've been here their lives, their whole lives, most of them. They've been here. The lights are on. This building is still functioning as a place to come for this church to worship. These people are sincere in what they do. They want to see people born into the family of God. We're not worried about anybody's feelings. I've been in revivals to where I've stayed at midnight and enjoyed every minute of it. I'll do it tonight if I have to. Because I want to see you saved. I want to see you saved. God's way, and I hope you remember this. God's way is in a person. And it's not me. It's not you. It's not you. It's not you. That person is Jesus Christ. Amen. He is God's way. Amen. And only God's way. Jesus told Thomas in the 14th chapter of the book of John, verse 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. I hope and pray tonight that you can find your way, that you can find some strength within you, some little fiber in you, that you'll find it, that you'll get up and you'll go and make an altar and call on the name of the Lord. I'm going to prepare to close regardless of how much this world has changed or will change. And it could possibly change. I don't know if I want to be here. I hope the Lord comes. It's changing too much. It's changing too much for me. But regardless of all that, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He'll be the same to the very end. I want to leave you with this thought. It's found over in the 5th chapter of the book of Mark. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, He wanted to see people saved too. Do you know that? In fact, He said that was His mission. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. That included me, included all of you that are saved. It includes you. If you're here and you're lost, He wants to seek you out. But there was a gentleman. He was a ruler in the synagogue. His name was Jairus. And he saw Jesus, and he'd obviously heard about Jesus. And he had a daughter that was at home, and she was sick, near to death, the Bible says. She was close to dying. And being a father, I understand. I can relate to his feelings, can't you? I wouldn't want to be in that predicament. And he'd heard about this man named Jesus. So he went to him. And the Bible says when he approached Jesus, he fell at his feet. I would too. When I see him in glory, I'm going to fall at his feet. If I can get close enough, I'm going to fall at his feet and thank him for everything. This man asked Jesus if he would come to his house and lay hands on her that she might be healed. He had faith in Jesus, didn't he? He said, if you just come and lay hands on her, she won't die. I have that same faith tonight. If you'll just come to Jesus, He'll touch you and He will heal you spiritually. Jesus agreed to go. And on the way, there was a certain woman. She had an issue of blood for 12 years. And there was a crowd of people as usual, and she couldn't get to him. She run up behind him. She fell down. She touched the hem of his garment. I love that thought right there. She touched the hem of his garment. She thought within herself, if I can just touch him, if I can just touch him, I'll be made whole. She touched him. And guess what? She was made whole. God keeps His word. You know that? God keeps His word. Jesus kind of got delayed there a little bit. He wasn't worried. So he went on, and some ran to him and told him, she done died. Done died. You know what Jesus said? And I want to leave you with these words right here. Precious. Precious. In verse 36 of the 5th chapter of the book of Mark, here's what Jesus said. He said, be not afraid. Be not afraid. Only believe. There's nothing to be afraid of here tonight as we approach this invitation. Nothing to be afraid of. I guarantee you that if you come to this altar, or you make an altar anywhere in this house, that these people will gather around you and they will pray. They will pray on your behalf. You'll see that. I know that's hard. And I know that it's hard to get all the fear. It's hard to get a lot of these things out of our way. But we've got to do that. If we want to be saved, we've got to go God's way. Amen. Can't have it your way. All the circumstances are not going to work out like you want. When Jesus is near, when He's near, you need to approach Him. You need to call on Him. And you're going to experience what we've been talking about all week, and I'm pretty sure we're probably going to keep talking about it the rest of the week. Salvation. Salvation. Jesus said, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." That's what you need tonight. Rest in your soul. Peace deep down in your soul. But you've got to come on Jesus' terms. And I hope tonight you can find it within yourself. Come and make an altar. Brother Colin, if you would.